This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. See if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity be a roadblock in your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
All right, how's it going, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Nerdif Sent Time. If you wadiway, and sitting across from me is
Danny Fernandez.
Hey.
So this is coming out on Tuesday. It's been like a week and a half since Comic-Con.
Yeah.
A week-ish. Hopefully we are fully recovered.
Yeah. Hopefully. One can only hope.
I actually don't. So for those of you that don't go to cons, there's something called the con flu. People normally get sick after conventions, aside from the fact that you're like packed like sardines in a can with so many people and touching so many things, but also just like, I think your body's like exhausted. This makes This is like a really negative. What I was going to say though, is that I always get sick before, because I'm always stressed out trying to host and work and shoot stuff before Comic-Con. So I always get sick the week before Comic-Con, which I did. So then I'm not sick after when everyone else is sick. So I feel
because
invincible.
Because you already passed it on.
No, that's not it. It's because my body has already developed those antibodies or whatever.
Yeah, no, I think it's like a combination of that. I think it's a combination, especially in San Diego, where it's super hot outside.
So hot.
And you go inside and it's like blasting AC
and
you're cold.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the perfect combination of events to make sure that you're sick after. Me, luckily, I didn't spend too much time on the floor.
Plus, right, same.
Most Comic-Cons, I'm not on the floor that much unless there's something I really want to buy. But unfortunately, and we'll get to it, all the pops that I would have wanted sold out in 15 minutes. So didn't even have a shot. Then I was talking to Kyle, and his brother isn't a DBZ fan, but had like, he could have picked them
up. He got the exclusives.
Yeah, he could have picked them up for me, but he didn't know anyone who wanted it. And I was like, oh, okay. All right, breathe. But, you know, one thing that's fortunate for me is as a, like, sneakerhead and someone who wears streetwear, I'm used to resale being, like, $100 to $200 more.
Woof.
Funko Pop resales are easy compared to that. It's like, oh, I have to pay $40 for something. Okay, that's no problem. Like, my first pair of Yeezys I spent $500 on.
Well, that's why you got to be I feel like we're friends with some people that at either Funko or the one that I know that sold out, that crashed. I see you put it in our notes that crashed Funimation's site is the Whis from Dragon Ball Super crashed Funimation. Our good friends at Funimation who were working very hard to try and get those exclusives for people.
Man.
People going crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny because I do often sleep on how popular Whis is as a character, because there's so many. I feel like in this new rendition of Dragon Ball Super, there's just so many dope new characters that's like, who do you want? You know, I think the same thing would happen if a Ciampa figure came out, you know?
Yeah. What I was going to say for people that don't know is that they had set up an exclusive, like, so that you wouldn't have to necessarily stand in line. Like, you could apply early to be a part of, to get Comic-Con exclusives, which is a huge thing. When we say exclusives are like toys, figures, merchandise that is exclusive to Comic-Con, where you're not going to be able to get it other places, or you'll be one of the first people to own it. So, It's crazy.
Yeah. So you were
working
every panel. Which panels did you do, just as a recap for people?
I did People of Color in Comics at Skybound. That was moderated by Hector Navarro, who I love dearly. I also did a live version of my show, Natural Selection, at Nerdist House. Oh, yeah. If he was in the audience, laughing and heckling. both those things. You were.
Well, I never.
Live program is so great because we had a live studio audience, but we also were live streaming to everybody, and so we had technical difficulties, as you do when you are dealing with live programming. So I hosted that. I host a show called Natural Selection at Nerdist. It's a debate show. And then I did Brown Girls in Gaming, which was moderated by Danielle Radford at Skybound. I had a panel called Most Dangerous Women, where we actually debated about the representation of women in a lot of the films that have come out this year. And not all that great, some of them. Some, even superhero ones, some of them didn't fare so hot. Some of them didn't pass the Bechdel test, so that's great. But shout out to Bechdel Cast here on our network. Check out that podcast about the representation of women in media and film. And then I don't know. I feel I've talked too much now. I did a bunch of panels.
This is your podcast where you
get to talk. I did a bunch of panels, but what I wanted to say was that it was very humbling. I used to go to Comic-Con when I was 10, back when my family was living in San Diego, and I would stand in line to get the Dragon Ball Z voice actors to sign my VHS tapes. It was a lot different back then. It didn't fill up the whole con. There wasn't as many people, weren't really as many lines and stuff. And to be asked to be on panels just makes me feel like my voice is important. And, you know, we got to meet a lot of Nerdificent fans and just Daily Zeitgeist fans, and just coming up and letting me know that, Iffy, both you and I, that our voices matter and are important in this nerddom. So, yeah.
Yeah, thank you guys for being so dope. Yeah, it was a fun time. This was definitely a good time for me. Probably my first time super professionally doing it. I've always had a pro badge, and I've done a few panels before, but this is the first time I moderated a panel, and for a big company, which was funny because it was Skybound, which, if you were listening to last week's episode, you know they came from Image, and I talked to them about that and how they are carrying over the Image kind of philosophy of letting them, because just like Image, Skybound, the creators of their brand get to own their IPs as well. And they're really excited that, you know, they got a little shout out on the episode, and also that we were kind of talking about that. And both me and Danny work with Skybound now. And I was like, I don't know if we mentioned that. Yeah, we were
now it's official.
Sort of biased. But yeah, no, it was super cool to do that, especially because that's the big thing. I mean, everything is big at Con. Being on a panel is big, but when you get to do the moderating, there, you know, there's someone used to have a monopoly on it, and now I feel like a few spots are going to open up without trying to sound too messy. Then also, I was shoutcasting and hosting an offsite activation. They had this thing called Experience in San Diego, where they had an esports stage, and three people would play with a professional uh-huh. Fortnite player, and we had raffles. And it was a legit raffle. I want to be I wish more people were able to enter, but it was literally impossible because the kids, kids had that thing locked. Because pretty much the raffle, what we were giving away, I said it so much that I remember it. We were giving away 3 144 hertz curved monitors, 3 GTX 1070 graphics cards, and also 1 DX Racer chair, 6 boxes of the Dominion board game, 6 Roku Expresses, and 8 Lucid Sound headphones, which I think are great. That's if so you cool. are an adult and above. I'm losing my mind at the idea of a 8-year-old getting a GTX 1070. Is he going to build a because the thing is, if your parent's a supercomputer nerd, they're going to set that up for you. But if not, a parent's going to be what?
Yeah.
And will they even know that they'll be able to sell it for almost $1,000 because of the crypto miners, you know, selling? It's insane. And I think we genuinely thought it'd be an older base, but we underestimated how big the Fortnite is for kids. And when the kids found out that they had a chance to play with pros and actually have a chance, mm-hmm. a better chance at win. They were lining up, like the experience didn't open up till 11. They were lining up at like 10 o'clock and then waiting, then running to the table, then lining up because because they would open like at 10:30, but we wouldn't start till 11 and they would be just a line around. Every day we had to like signups filled up after 10-15 minutes, and lots of times we didn't even make it that far because of how long a game with a pro lasts. Because, you know, Fortnite can last anywhere between 30 seconds to 30 minutes, but when you have a pro player, it's always lasting at least 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But, like, at first we were like, these kids, but then it became heartwarming when we found out, like, two main things made it heartwarming. One, these were, like, some of these kids' first wins ever at this game.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, so, like, they are losing their minds because like this game that seems so hard to them that they thought they'd never be able to win, they just would lose it and they would be so happy because this pro player got them the chance to get a win. And two, the parents really loved him because they were on this huge kind of Titantron up there and talking, and the parents were like, is there a way we can get the footage for this? It was wild. It was like, oh yeah, I forgot. I think in the same way, like, Comic-Con was humbling. Also, it just makes me realize how big video games are now. Like, if I told my parents when I was a kid that I wanted to play this video game and get a win, I don't think they'd understand how important that is for mm-hmm. me now. And I feel like a lot of parents now get it and we're super excited to help their kids have this win.
Yeah. Gosh. I was really proud of you. I liked seeing all the stuff that you were doing.
Well, thanks. I was proud of you, too. I was seeing you up there. Nerdist House was a cool thing. I think, you know, because before it was at Petco Park out in the sun.
Yeah.
And this time it was like in this
air
cool,
conditioning.
Yeah. And I really.
Oh, you remember my top broke. Oh, my gosh. Oh, so man. If we're talking about behind the scenes, we'll get into some of the trailer drops and things that some of the big news that happened at Comic-Con in this wrap up. But just, you know, we like sharing our personal experiences. So I had a zip up top and my zipper broke in between my panels. It was my fault. Well, I was wearing a one piece. And if y'all, when you have to go pee, you got to take that one piece all the way off. Yep. It looks good, especially when it's hot out. It looks good. I looked like. It was funny. Hector was like, are you a character from Overwatch? Like, it was just like a cool looking racer.
It was like, to give credit to that and also help people image it, it did look like a sexy Widowmaker, like, romper.
Yeah. It was a short little one piece with, like, shorts and stuff. But you had to unzip it. So anyways, my zipper broke on my way to host my live show that was in front of a live audience and live streamed to thousands of people. And I couldn't get it to go back up. So I just basically, if you can imagine, if he put it good, I think when he said the dress that J-Lo wore.
Yeah, mm-hmm, that's what
the
it
dress
was.
That J-Lo wore with it, like, going all the way down to her navel. That's what I looked like.
I mean, and I had to, like, we because it was me, Danny, Erica Ishii, we were walking there. I had that big anime sweat behind my head the whole time. And then we got there and she put a shirt on. And Danny was like, I need a shirt.
Well, I didn't have tape, Iffy. And, you know, in those situations, something might pop out. And so
anything. It could
and
be
it's really funny because
cards.
Everybody was like, no, but that's fine. Like, I personally don't care. I don't really care, but I can't speak for everyone on the live stream watching. They might have cared. So,
you know, it is against Twitch TOS. You're right.
Oh, okay.
It just also reminded me just how little I know about women's clothing because I'll see shirts like that and I was like, oh, I didn't realize it needs to be secured. I just thought it was just the strength of the clothes that kept them together, you know?
That's funny.
That's what I always believed. I was wrong. How were you getting around? Because it was packed. Like, it was funny, too, because coming from Wednesday to Saturday, it was wild seeing how incrementally more packed the sidewalks got. And it was rough.
Yeah, everybody was using this service called Bird. Was that it?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for bringing that up.
It was a scooter. It's a scooter service that's popular. I don't know if they might have it in your town, but they have it in San Diego where you can rent a scooter like and just drop it off wherever. You get this app, you just hop on, you scooter wherever you need to go, and then you leave it. Or you can keep renting it if like you're planning to scooter back.
Yeah. There was two, Bird and Lime. And they had bikes, but no one wanted the bikes. Everyone was on the scooter. And I saw one. in Koreatown. Someone had a bird, and I lost my mind. I was like, oh, this, it was like, you know, when you like buy a car and you and it's your car and you love it, and then you see that model on the street. That's what it felt like, where I was like, oh, did this exist? And I just never saw it. But yeah, I rode it once. It goes super fast. At least the Lime does. The bird apparently doesn't go that fast.
Oh, okay.
The Lime zooms. I was worried also because mm-hmm. apparently like you're supposed to wear helmets, but like the city was lax. But I think and I knew this because I just know how bureaucratic infrastructure works. As more people came, they got more strict, because when it's Wednesday and it's like a handful of people kind of just going and there's not much traffic, you're like, whatever. But when there's tons of cars, tons of people, and then you have these jackalopes on the, like, people were just riding it on the sidewalk. Yeah. It's like, no, that's not, you got to be on the street. And I know why you don't want to be on the street, because you don't have a helmet. And that's why you shouldn't be riding it
right now. Right, right, right. Yeah, I didn't even step on one because I'm terrified that I'm going to get hit by a car, which has already happened to me when I was walking across a crosswalk in college.
like, I don't want to even add any more elements to make that happen. Uh-huh,
yeah, so I'm a little scared of it. But yeah, the other thing that I saw that was cool was, of course, because I'm a big Dragon Ball Z person, they had an interactive Dragon Ball Super area that was outside the Marriott, which was connected to the convention center. And so you could ride Nimbus, which is the cloud that Goku rides from Dragon Ball Z. You could play Dragon Ball FighterZ, I believe you could play there. You could like take all these photos with Vegeta and Goku. And it was really neat. It was so cool. Another thing, like you were saying, it was so cool to see young people, young and old people, getting so excited about it. And the people working it were like really working it. There was a lady, an older lady, that was doing the photo booth, and she was like, now do your hand like a Kamehameha, and now do it like this. Like, she posed me in a billion different ways, and I just was like, this is so cool, because this is what I grew up with, and it's just, I'll never not be geeked out by it. They also changed all of the elevators in the Marriott to Dragon Ball Z characters, and I just thought that was so neat.
Yeah, that's first off and foremost, that's my biggest regret, was not making it to that. Yeah, I kept missing it. Also, I just literally was either doing the panel or hosting the thing. So I just didn't have, like, I was going to have like 2 hours to kind of walk around and do my nerd stuff. But our activation was so successful that the experience asked us to extend it an hour. And I was like, okay, but I want to go do nerd stuff. But one thing that I remember when I went to the Funimation party the first day that they were so excited about is that anime was in Hall H.
Yes.
And I didn't consider that like all this time in Hall H, anime really hasn't had that much of a presence. I'm sure like they might have done it a year or so or any time. But since in recent memory, that's the biggest kind of anime Hall H event that we've had in a while. And that's really cool. Not only that, you know, it was anime, but also that it's, you know, kind of like an anime that anime snobs try and look down on. And it's like, oh, cool. Like, I'm sure you like your niche anime, but it's not going to be in Hall H.
Yeah, and just to remind people of what Hall H is, it is the biggest hall where they do all of the trailer drops. Anytime that you see, like, the cast of Wonder Woman or Aquaman or whatever, it's going to be there in Hall H. People will spend the night overnight trying to get in. It's always completely sold out and packed. And yeah, and the fact that they had the Dragon Ball Super movie that's coming out there, and it was also packed for that, and they had the voice actors there, is incredible. That just shows how big that fandom is. If you're sleeping on it, it is huge.
Yeah, and I think I want to also echo, because you're shouting out the people who were into it. Definitely, I want to shout out the kind of, because a lot of times, and it was funny because Milana Weintraub was talking about this, how she was
she's the voice of Squirrel Girl.
Yeah, she's the voice of Squirrel Girl. But also she said her first Comic-Con experience was getting paid like $100 a day to act in this. And so, yeah, all those like activations, that those interactive things, are actors who are doing it. And so it's so fun to see them commit. And it is funny when they're paired with someone who doesn't want to commit as much. So I went to the DC Experience activation, and for Doom Patrol, they had this room where like it was supposed to be a chief's lab, and it's like a scientific lab, and this guy was giving it his all. Like if there was an Oscar for activation, he's like, yes, welcome to my lab, and he was doing it and it was great. And then he goes like, what are you cooking up over here? And then the other person acting the booth was like, okay, so here is zebra popcorn, and this is like just totally flat, not in character, but I was like, oh man, yeah, it's so funny. And then did you get bombarded by the Godzilla one at all?
Oh yeah.
That one where they stopped. So they had a Godzilla activation where they had, it was pretty huge. And I felt bad for the scientists because they had people in like the giant, like yellow hazmat suits going around scanning things. And then a person in a suit would come up to you and be like, have you seen Godzilla activity? And I was with...
This wasn't in the con. This was like out on the street.
On the street. And what's funny is I was with my friend Ash Bloggett and Brett Eagleston, who are all like actors too. So we, you know, because we love the arts, are participating like, yeah, we... And we were having a... Yeah, of course, 100%. That... And then the second, the third one I want to shout out is the Jack Ryan, which they were pushing so hard, which I don't know the Venn diagram of like comic book nerds and
I feel like it's Tom huge. Well, it wasn't just Jack. It is the guy that's in Jack Ryan.
Oh, who is it?
Jim from The Office.
Oh, is that who is in it?
Yeah. John Krasinski.
Yeah, that's such
he's
a
Jack,
jump.
He's in Jack
oh,
Ryan.
Oh, so that's why.
There's so, yeah, they had the whole Jack Ryan experience
oh,
out
there. Oh,
that's
so funny. Mm-hmm. For him to be deadpan employee to, like, Jack Ryan. Yeah, like, they had these guys in all black, which it was kind of creepy until you remembered you were at Comic-Con. They would pull out a paper with a manila envelope and go, a message from Jack Ryan. And I would, and the first time I was like, oh.
I love it.
And the second time I was like, noted.
It is so fun to play along with nerds. I do. I think I was in the middle of the street and there were Sci-Fi was having an entire band, a drum line and everything. And it was they were playing theme from like Spider-Man and they were just having so much fun and people were dancing in the street. And it was like, this is the best part of nerddom. Like this is why we come here. Also, because no one's behind a screen. Everyone is face to face. There's no fighting and arguing and saying awful, horrible things to each other. It's just fans being nerds being nerds and geeking out and being, you know, all dressed up and stuff and just enjoying these interactive experiences. So I really love the fact that we have cons because I think it kind of brings everyone back to how we started.
Yeah, that was super good. But the number one thing that's the hugest attraction for SDCC or San Diego Comic-Con for people who like to say things that are really long are all those trailers, all those reveals, and everything that's coming out. And we'll jump right into that after these messages.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. See if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity be a roadblock in your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use when vehicle is in operation, compatible device and vehicle required.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hey there, parents and teachers. Are you tired of feeling like every day is a battle of wills with your kids?
Let me tell you about something that changed the game. Love and Logic. Love and Logic isn't just another parenting or teaching strategy. It's a mindset shift that empowers you to raise responsible, respectful kids while keeping your sanity intact. With Love and Logic, you'll learn practical techniques to set limits with empathy, give your kids the tools they need to make smart choices, and build relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. Love and Logic stands behind their methods with a one-year money-back guarantee. Try it out risk-free. If it doesn't change your life, we'll buy it back. Plus, you can get 10% off with code IHEART10. So if you're ready to say goodbye to power struggles and hello to peaceful, loving relationships with your kids, it's time to give Love and Logic a try. Visit their website or call today. Your sanity will thank you. Love and Logic, because parenting and teaching should be a joy, not a chore. Visit loveandlogic.com.
Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed those messages. We're about to jump into the fun stuff, the stuff that we were all talking about when it happened. I think we'll jump right into it, but Dani wants to kick things off. She has a few things to say.
No. I was just going to say something about, because the first up on our docket is the Shazam trailer, and David Sandberg, who is the director for it, he previously worked on Lights Out and Annabelle Creation, which a lot of people actually liked. I find his story so fascinating. Have you watched the Lights Out short?
Oh, yeah. It's super crazy.
It's so great. But, like, to me, whenever people are like, well, I can't make a difference. Like, I don't have a whole production team and all this stuff. I'm like, that man made a 3-minute short of his wife in his apartment.
And it launched his career.
Yeah,
like, from
truly.
That, he got Annabelle. Like, if you look at his IMDb, it's really just...
I mean, he worked on a couple of other things, but, like, that is what went viral. So go, if you're a wannabe filmmaker or trying to, you know, anything, just trying to start out, whether it's in horror, sketch comedy, or whatever, go look at that, because that 3-minute short changed this man's life.
Yeah.
And anyways, now he's the director of Shazam.
Yeah, and what's interesting, too, that something of note that I noticed is a lot of these directors have a history in horror.
Yeah.
So you have, you know, Shazam with David Sandberg, who did Lights Out, like you said. But then James Wan, he started in Saw. I was, for some reason, I was looking up the history of the Saw movies, because I actually am an unabashed Saw fan. And he also did The Conjuring. And then he did another superhero movie called Furious 7. So I'm excited, too, because, you know, some people are like, oh, I don't see why it's matter. It does matter to me. I like, you know, that we have a person of color directing, you know, this Aquaman story. You know, we're mixing it up. We're giving shots to, you know, people of color who, you know, normally don't get big shots like that. I mean, James Wan definitely is not a plucky young director. He has a storied resume, so it's not like they're really taking a chance, but it is cool to see them mix it up a bit. And I do, like a lot of people have been saying, you know, because look, we all know DC, everyone feels how they feel about their movies, but people are like, I'm gonna trust James Wan, and I trust both these directors, and I think these are gonna be great movies.
I do want to say about Aquaman. So before Comic-Con, they had released the poster for it, and somebody had edited it so it looked like, because in the poster, he's surrounded by a bunch of aquatic life, and someone had edited it so it looked like a Lisa Frank poster.
Yeah.
And you thought
it was real?
I thought it was real.
I thought it was real.
And I know people were dunking on it. And I was like, I am so excited to see this film with like pink and purples and like rainbows. And I truly thought that it looked magical. It looked cool. It looked like a mixture of like if Disney had taken over one of these properties type of thing. And then I found out that it wasn't real. So that's fine. It's dark. But I was kind of excited to see a bright, also just like him being, I was like, whoa, maybe he'll like ride a dolphin and be in pink and be like, anyways, people are going to be mad I said this, but yeah.
I mean, look, looking at that first scene in the trailer where he's standing against the aquarium wall and the animals are like, leave him alone. I don't think you'd be far off in that. So just think of that when you think. I like that we get Mira in it. Mira actually in the DC comics was a very fun character for me, especially because she got a Red Lantern ring, which was built of her rage in this split between her family and like her love for Aquaman. So, I mean, obviously we may not make it to Red Lantern stuff in the next 5 years, but Mira, I really enjoyed her as a character ever since that kind of happened.
And that is being played by Amber Heard.
Yes.
Yeah. So hopping back to the Shazam trailer, did anything like stand out for you, Iffy?
I really like, seeing it. I think the best description of it was Big Meets Superman, which is something this franchise needs. DC has been too dark. It'd be fun to lighten it up with something mm-hmm. lighthearted and interesting, especially since we are going to get the dark epic film with Aquaman, which I love that we do have Black Manta and they pull the mask off.
Oh, yeah.
Because very few times, like, people didn't know, specifically me, I didn't know for a while Black Manta was black until they pulled the mask off. He very, very rarely pulls it off. And I got to say, I'm super excited.
And also Jason Momoa being Jason Momoa.
I know. It's
his peak Jason Momoa.
Definitely. It seems like what's cool about mixing it up, because I will say Snyder and Nolan has kind of had a chokehold on the DC series. It seems like it's only been them. And that, I think, might have been part of the problem. Whether, no matter how you feel about their films, love them or hate them, you got to admit that, like, the reason they all bleed together is because you've only had, like, two people touching it. So to have these two new directors kind of with their... I mean, the last time we had a new director, cough, cough, Patty Jenkins, like, it was a Ooh. Smash hit. It's not even to say that necessarily Snyder or Nolan is bad. I mean, Nolan has, like, the definitive Batman movie trilogy, mm-hmm. but... when you are letting just two directors do all of the movies, they bleed together because every director has their own style. When you splash in some Patty Jenkins, some James Wan, Jenkins, James Wan, you know, it'll mix it up. And when you do get that dark DC, it'll pop because of that. And it just, you know, you just can't put a whole bunch of iceberg lettuce in a salad. You need some tomatoes, you need some carrots, you need some onions, and that's what's going to make a good salad. And I think that's been the difference and why it seems like kind of like Marvel took the lead, because from the jump, Marvel had so many hands and so many different parts of their salad, where we're finally getting to the other parts of the DC salad. So I'm really excited to see what they came from, where they're coming from. And it seems like they're going to pass the torch. And you'll see what I mean in just a second.
Well, I did want to say Gail Simone, who is a noted comic book writer, but also for Wonder Woman specifically, she actually tweeted and was like, so was DC the winner of the con? Because it feels like that.
I almost thought it was a joke. I mean, the answer, first off and foremost, is yes. But also... DC was running against no one. Like, because we didn't have Marvel, Star Wars didn't really have a presence, and besides that, all the other brands pretty much had established series. So I do think they won, but they had no one really up against them.
I hear you, but it still could have been horribly received, you know, their trailers and their
exactly. stuff.
But instead, everyone seemed to get very excited about them. So.
Oh, yeah. They've definitely... did good, you know, because you're right. DC could have just been by themselves and still lost the con, you know, but they are constantly talking about, they did come out with the dope trailers, and all you heard about was Shazam and Aquaman.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about this earlier, I think on Candy Dinner, because we were wondering why Marvel isn't coming out with anything, because there isn't a D23 that year, because that's usually why Marvel kind of holds their reveals. And I came to the conclusion it's because Marvel can't talk about anything without spoiling the next Infinity War. Because if you think about it, we have one movie, then Infinity War.
Yeah.
Anything we'd see behind that is going to kill it. I mean, just literally anything. Because every movie you talk about confirms that that person lives. So to keep with the lore... of Infinity War, you cannot show.
I think we already know some of the people.
Oh, we def know.
Because they have a 3-contract deal.
Yeah.
3-part T'Challa and Peter Parker.
But I feel like people, like, I don't want to call them plebs, but reg folks aren't checking in on that.
I still think even, like, I don't want to say my mom, but like I feel, we'll say my older brother, because he doesn't really follow this stuff. I feel like he at least would be like, oh no, wait, that Peter Parker, that new one only got one film. He's probably going to get a couple more.
Oh yeah.
I don't even feel like that's a spoiler. I just feel like that's common math.
Yeah.
Is those newer characters that they just introduced that made them millions are probably not getting killed off. But to move on to Glass. Was another trailer that dropped, M. Night Shyamalan, who I have a little story here. Did I tell you?
Did you read what I wrote next to it?
Currently Danny's hotel roommate, yes. he had the room across from me at Comic-Con, and it was funny. Yeah, actually one of my girlfriends was trying to slip. I gave her my badge so that she could have it for the day because I was on these panels off-site, and she was trying to stick her badge back under my door, and M. Night was like so fascinated. He was like, what are you doing? And I came out in like my gym clothes with like a bathrobe on, and he had like the rest of the members of Glass standing right there, and we all just like didn't go in our room, so we were all just standing there talking. And then they asked to take a picture with one of my friends.
Oh, nice.
And I don't know, it's little things like that. Danielle Radford said that she was in the elevator with, I forgot, a famous comic book artist. And she was like, yeah, I just had like a 5-minute conversation with them about comics. And it's like little things like that when you're at Comic-Con where everyone's kind of on the same level. Everyone's excited about the same things. Everyone's in the same area. That's also cool, as you're around some of your favorite creators.
Oh, yeah. 100%. It's super fun. Glass, I'm super excited about. Mostly because I kind of watched Unbreakable bit by bit. Like, it definitely wasn't like a movie that I fully ingested until I saw Split. And then once that connection was made, I was like, oh, I need to go back and really watch Unbreakable, because I'm curious in M. Night Shyamalan's superhero universe, because it seems very different, very grounded, and it feels like the most accidental perfect take of like superheroes in a real world. So I'm super excited. I don't, you know, and I feel like these movies, I thought, are his most successful movies. So I'm also not like worried about the quote unquote history of, you know, his movies, because Unbreakable was amazing, did well. Split was a surprise smash hit.
Yeah.
So now it's going to be interesting to see him focus in on this. It's great.
Yeah. I'm excited for it as well. I know there are so many fans of this franchise, and to kind of see it all come together. Split was a little bit hard for me. Just this is so fascinating, because we talked about it on my Most Dangerous Women thing, is that whenever a woman is hurt just to be hurt, like, people argue with me about this a lot, but Gail Simone actually is the one that created the website Women in Fridges, which if you haven't checked it out, please. It'll change how you look at media. It's originally from Green Lantern, when he comes home and finds his girlfriend has been literally fridged. She's been stuck in a fridge, killed and stuck in there. And so Gail made a list of media that either a woman is murdered or maimed or hurt in some way to further the story of a man or the character development of a man, but also just in general. I think a lot of times, when we talked about this on the panel, a lot of times filmmakers use rape, like rape of a woman, as her backstory. Like, that's her character story. That's what made her her. And I don't always agree with that. And so at times it's kind of put me at odds with films that it's been difficult for me to enjoy. And this is me personally, so I don't need people disagreeing with how I feel about it. You can feel about it your own way. But I just know, as a writer and someone that's been around this media and film and television and screenwriters so much, that it is used too often, I feel like, that's all I'll say. And so,
I think the equation is there, and it's pretty simple to figure out that when you have men writing women, you only have a limited perspective. And so when you think of like what empowers women, I think men often don't have the answer, because obviously only someone who is a woman would know what would empower you. So I think it comes also from just the toxic masculinity of, like, if you endure some hardcore pain or you endure some suffering, you come out stronger. And then the next part of the equation is, what is the worst thing a woman can endure? And then you have your plot device for Game of Thrones. You know, like, it definitely is that. And I feel like, you know, it is kind of overused, and it is kind of, you know, hard. I mean, there's been dope films that have found new ways to implement it, like that Hanna film that had like this overbearing special agent dad that kind of, you know, trained. Like, you can also be trained in stuff. You don't have to be scrappy because you got like kidnapped and, you know, had all that stuff going. So I definitely know what you mean. And if for those who are like, what? It's because Split is literally surrounded. The whole motivation is this guy has kidnapped these, all these teenage women, and you find out that he,
one of them, yeah. No, one of them was raped by her uncle.
Yeah.
Well, and I just am like, is that necessary for the story? Yeah. I guess is my, that's it, the only.
Yeah. Cause like literally it's like the, you know, like the big reveal at the end and the reason like he doesn't hurt her because she's already been hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, I respect a lot of filmmakers, and I'm just saying I see it a lot, and that's all. That's my commentary as a woman. I see it often, and I could talk about other films where they've done that. And to me, it's like, I understand that you're trying to get a reaction, or if there's, you feel like there's a purpose, is there another way? I don't know. I feel like we're going to go so off topic now dealing with this, but I'm done. I'm done with my little thing. So what I was going to say is I'm really excited for everybody. It's hard for me at times to enjoy films when I feel rape is just used for it. And I understand that it happens in real life. I just think it happens too often in media as a backstory necessary for women. Anyways, moving on.
Yeah, we'll just knock out the movie that I'm most excited about, which is Godzilla King of Monsters. I love kaiju. I love big monsters. And so I'm super excited that we are introducing more monsters for the King of Monsters to fight. We get Mothra. We're getting all the bangers. King Ghidorah. You know, who knows? Maybe we'll get a new MF Doom album. King Ghidorah album. I don't know. It's going to be tight. And of course, in the footnotes, we'll have links to all these trailers if you have yet to see them. But it's going to be fun. TV stuff is going to be very easy because lots of these trailers are for already established shows. So if you don't know, Black Lightning, pretty much all of the DC TV shows are getting a season, another season. That's what it was about. Iron Fist, they rightfully so didn't push it. I guess we can slowly touch on the small controversy they had. Did you hear about that?
About which one?
About Iron Fist.
No.
Let me see. Jeff Loeb, who is a producer on it and a comic book writer, came out in the Karate Kid outfit and was doing like offensive kind of white dude doing karate bit that he was called out for by one of the actresses, which might have been part of the bit. Basically trying to lampoon what everybody hates about Iron Fist without actually presenting any, I don't know, solutions to it. And so that was something people were buzzing about. I don't think it had like a huge big outcry about it, but it was something that happened. And so just pointing that out. Riverdale getting another season. Star Trek Discovery, Orville, Walking Dead's both of them another season. Better Call Saul, really excited.
Ooh,
season 4.
Me too.
The Gifted. But the big news was the announcement of a new season of Star Wars Clone Wars, which I thought was done, you know.
People were very excited.
Yeah. And so it's going to be super cool, but I think that is a sign of DC winning the con.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that news came out. I didn't hear about it till I was looking at all the wrap-ups. So the fact that the DC trailers and news kind of shadowed Star Wars, even though it's one Star Wars announcement, I think it's pretty big because that is a very popular Star Wars animated series. But there were lots of new shows and a few toys I want to talk about, but we'll get to that after these messages.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. See if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity be a roadblock in your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Hey there, parents and teachers. Are you tired of feeling like every day is a battle of wills with your kids? Let me tell you about something that changed the game. Love and Logic.
Love and Logic isn't just another parenting or teaching strategy. It's a mindset shift that empowers you to raise responsible, respectful kids while keeping your sanity intact. With Love and Logic, you'll learn practical techniques to set limits with empathy, give your kids the tools they need to make smart choices, and build relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. Love and Logic stands behind their methods with a 1-year money-back guarantee. Try it out risk-free. If it doesn't change your life, we'll buy it back. Plus, you can get 10% off with code IHEART10. So if you're ready to say goodbye to power struggles and hello to peaceful, loving relationships with your kids, it's time to give Love and Logic a try. Visit their website or call today. Your sanity will thank you. Love and Logic, because parenting and teaching should be a joy, not a chore. Visit loveandlogic.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Welcome back, everybody. Okay, so there's a couple of new shows I want to talk about. There's one that I'm going to talk so much about. So let me just run through the first. So we have the Mayan MC show. It's basically a spinoff of Sons of Anarchy based off of the character Ezekiel Reyes, who was part of the Mayans. It's going to follow them. I'm very curious what they're going to do with this, because the whole device, if you didn't know, with Sons of Anarchy was that it was Hamlet. So that was kind of what made it so good and cool and interesting. So I'm very curious if the characters they built have the substance to really carry on a spinoff series, or if they're going to do another like Shakespeare, which I actually think that'd be the most interesting if they found a way to make this also follow a classic Shakespearean story.
Listen, I just want, you know, I don't know how much they've already filmed, but I would love to audition. Just get me
in. Yeah, let's get in.
Yeah. Get me in the room. No, but I will be watching it. Yeah. They didn't promote it as much. I did see though that they had a big They rented out like what it was a hotel, and like the whole backdrop of the hotel was a poster for this. So it was like several stories long.
Yeah.
Moving on to Disenchantment.
Yeah. Seems like it's going to be a fantasy-based comedy from Matt Groening of The Simpsons.
From The Simpsons and Futurama.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, at first I was like, what? Because I'm paused on Matt after that weak response to that Apu controversy. I mean, you could disagree, but you could also have a better response other than, why are you mad? That's not going to pass anymore. think it through. You don't have to do the change, but you can consider what's being said. But then I saw who's voicing. We got Abby Jacobson from Broad City and Eric Andre. And I think I might be in, because those are two of the funniest people. And I'm really excited to see what they're going to cook up. Then after that, we have Roswell, New Mexico, based, basically the Roswell show that was adapted from the YA novel by Melinda Metz called Roswell High. It lasted 3 seasons. It was pretty popular. Then it went away. They're trying a reboot, and they're going to age up the character and see. And they said they want to tackle modern issues. So I'll see how, you know, police brutality and all that makes its way into Roswell, New Mexico. Other than I don't know, whatever the kids talking about, whatever those kids on the Daily Zeitgeist talking about, however that's going to get into that.
And then we have
DC Titans. I was rushing to get to here.
No. I'm sorry. Did I take it from you? You can announce it.
No. You can announce
it. If you please. So the Titans official trailer dropped in very dark, which they already warned us that it was going to be dark, that it was going to be. It's fascinating, like you said, that DC, at least for the movies, Shazam and Aquaman, are using horror directors. And then for Titans, it definitely opens. The whole thing looks like it could be a horror film.
Yes.
The way that it's shot. We already knew that it was going to be having, you know, more heavy topics and things that they were going to be dealing with, especially with the death of Dick Grayson's family. So
yeah, but we did not see Robin saying F Batman while murdering multiple assailants, just totally forgetting the code that Batman has repeatedly forced upon all his Robins. And it's funny, people did not like it. The ratio, I felt bad because the DC, it was like DC Titan Writers Twitter account was like, what'd you guys think of the trailer?
Oh, man.
And that ratio was wild. I think it had like double digit retweets and like 700 plus replies. And people have been mad about it. I mean, one thing that I was really kind of annoyed by is, like, obviously I wanted to see how they were going to handle Beast Boy's transformations. We don't see that in the trailer. People are mad about Starfire actually producing fire. Not that big of an issue to me. What's so funny, one thing that's been genuinely hilarious to me is, like, a lot of people are like, the way she's dressed like a sex worker. It's like, have you seen Starfire's design? Also, she looks way more modest than Starfire's design.
I think that she had to delete some of her social media because of awful people writing
her. Oh, yeah,
her.
Because people were being racist about her because she's black. Just so everyone knows, Starfire's is yellow. She is an alien. She does not have a race, but somehow, and that's what I'm talking about with ownership, is like people will see an alien and be like, oh, this person is white. And the second thing is a fan art of Starfire that has her as a white person. Like, you see, like, that is what we talk about in the kind of unfair ownership of characters. There is an alien. An alien who is yellow, and you went and told yourself that this person is Caucasian. And when the creators of the show goes, no, we're going to have her played by a woman of color, a black woman, you want to be mad, and not only be mad,
But write her
and be racist. And then to constantly, you're like, oh, she's dressed like a prostitute. Dude, her outfit is literally a skirt and a halter top. So what more modesty do you know? She's wearing in the footage that has came out, she is literally wearing a purple dress that covers her up more than the purple outfit she normally is wearing.
I truly don't. This is, you know, we tackled this before with people writing Kelly Marie Tran, but I'm just like, she's an actress. She doesn't control literally anything. She doesn't control her costume. She doesn't control her lines. She doesn't control any of that. And so to write her specifically is insane to me. And I don't know. I'm once again disappointed.
Yeah, I found out she
she disabled her comments on Instagram, but I wonder if she's still.
Oh, this gets even worse because, you know, it would have been bad if they're just openly. Just like, because she's black. Apparently, the new take is that she's not the right kind of black. That she should be light-skinned. Which, you know, if we didn't get enough colorism as is, it's disgusting. And it's funny because stuff like this will come out, and then when people say DC fans are the worst, they get so offended. But it's like, look, if you're offended, then you need to be jumping down the throats of everybody who does stuff like this. If you are part of a fan base that is called the worst fan base, looking at you as well, Star Wars, every time you see someone saying something racist and horrible, you need to be adding them. Because the thing that gets people saying it isn't even necessarily taking receiving the comments or the fact that they're saying it, but to see the retweets and the people agreeing with them. So when outsiders are seeing these like horrible racist things about Kelly Marie Tran, or in this case Starfire, and then they're investigating and they're clicking on it, and there's a whole group of people just being like, yeah, that's what makes people blame the whole fandom. But if they were to click on it, this has happened to me before. I can't put my finger on it, but some racist trash was happening. And I was like, oh, this seems like this is rough. And I click on it and I see people just tearing this person apart for making that. And then you're like, oh, okay. No,
that's how it should be. That's how the fandoms should be.
Yeah. It was like, we need to check the people within our fandoms because, because it does, like, it does make us look bad as a whole, because every time someone says something gross under the guise of just wanting their show the way they want it, that reflects on the whole fandom, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think it's important to speak. I have before as a DC fan, because my favorite and most beloved character in all of superhero history is Wonder Woman. So I am the biggest Wonder Woman fan, and I always, whenever I speak up, I say, DC fans, we We. It still pisses people off. I'm not saying you. You. I'm saying us. We need to chill out. Yeah. I can't even say all the things I want to say because I'll get bleeped on here by a producer. Yeah. So, but anyways, you know what? One of the good things that I want to say that happened at Comic-Con was there was a meetup for Rose Tico, for Kelly Marie, yes. Marie Tran's character in Star Wars. And it was great. So many people came out. People dressed up like her. People were wearing her shirts, and they all met together. And she had no idea. I know. I sent pictures to my friend Chris, who's friends with her, and just because I wanted him to know that so many people were supporting her. So that was a really positive, great thing to see, and to see the fandom coming together and be like, "No, we're not going to let you push out one of our people."
Yes. And it was cool too, because it was dope to see so many Asian Americans kind of able to cosplay as her.
Yeah.
It's just a dope thing. But yeah, we are running out of time. Just off rip, Fave Toys, the DBZ toys broke the con. Very proud about that. Like Danny said earlier, the Broly, and all that. And then they had these Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle NECA toys that were based off of the original movie.
Oh, I think, did Hector bought them. Picked yeah, up
Hector,
some of those.
Hector bought them and the diorama that comes with them.
I love him.
And it was super cool. We'll post pictures of that. And, you know, this is going to be the thing we do after con. So we didn't do one for AX because that was a mess. but yeah, so if we go to cons, we'll be wrapping it up for yous, whos, bees, theirs. Anyway. I'm all out of words.
I feel like we are. It's so funny because when this drops, it'll be, you know, like, yeah, hopefully we'll be recovered. But right now we're still trying to adjust.
Yeah. But real quick, only one thing to plug. August 11th, I'll be in Portland with the White Women guys. We will be performing in the Stumptown Improv Fest. If you are out there, come through, say what's up. It'll be a good time. And, you know, you can follow me on If You Whitey Way on Twitter and Instagram.
I'm at Ms. Danny Fernandez, and thanks to everybody that if he was there handing out our Nerdificent shirts at the con. I forgot because I packed them in my bag, but had to run around so many places I forgot to hand them out. So maybe we'll do a giveaway. I think we'll do a giveaway on our Twitter. So definitely follow us on there if you want to win a shirt, and if you want to get one yourself, you can. We have a merch store at TeePublic.
Yeah.
And yeah, be kind to each other, y'all. Okay, life's short. Be nice to your fellow nerds.
Yeah. Seriously. Quick shout out to Zach McKeever in the booth, holding it down. Super producer Dan Goodman holding it in. New produce on the deuce. But yeah, like I said, be good to fellow nerds and stay nerdy.
Hey there, parents and teachers. Are you tired of feeling like every day is a battle of wills with your kids? Let me tell you about something that changed the game. Love and Logic. Love and Logic isn't just another parenting or teaching strategy. It's a mindset shift that empowers you to raise responsible, respectful kids while keeping your sanity intact. With Love and Logic, you'll learn practical techniques to set limits with empathy, give your kids the tools they need to make smart choices, and build relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. Love and Logic stands behind their methods with a 1-year money-back guarantee. Try it out risk-free. If it doesn't change your life, we'll buy it back. Plus, you can get 10% off with code IHEART10. So if you're ready to say goodbye to power struggles and hello to peaceful, loving relationships with your kids, it's time to give Love and Logic a try. Visit their website or call today. Your sanity will thank you. Love and Logic, because parenting and teaching should be a joy, not a chore. Visit loveandlogic.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.